Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash.
What's up?
What is up, dude? Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. And Don Cheadle. And many other things like Mock Stars tokens. And if you don't have any tokens in your hands right now, if you're not looking at them, they're so sick. Get your hands on some. Reach out to us. You can send us an email at mockstarspod@gmail.com. Get yourselves some tokens. We're running them for 15 a set. Five separate tokens. And they're super sick. And we're working on more. Anyway, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also find us on all major podcasting platforms. Leave us a five-star review on your platform of choice. Make us look super-duper cool, like you're wearing a Gottglarb hat, like I am right now, on the YouTube. You can also support us via Patreon. By becoming an official Pepperhead, you can support the show for $3 a month and have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. Join the Discord server as well. There was a question gone out this week. Who else is going to be at MagicCon? Let them know if you're going to be there. There's a small Mock Stars coalition forming at MagicCon in Vegas.
We have a coalition.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's a fun word.
Coalition victory, recently unbanned in Commander.
Indeed. I wonder if anyone's won with it yet. It's got to be the tastiest.
I mean, victory. Someone had to have won with it by now.
If you win with it, I think you just pull it from the deck, too. You do it once, and you just go, yep, did it, checked it off, bucket
list. I've proven my point.
Yeah. You stand up from that table differently. I was going to say something. Never mind. Okay.
Don't say it. Don't get canceled.
I don't want to get canceled. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier, like definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becker. For $10 a month, get 2 entries into each of our biweekly giveaways, which at the end of this episode we'll be doing. So stick around to the end to see who won. And then you can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier. That's $5 a month and gets you your single entry into each of our biweekly giveaways. The ROI is insane on these babies. You can also support us by joining the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, where you can sit in front of our Dyson Bladeless fan as the soothing sound of waves crash against your patio furniture. On the brunch restaurant of life of Dr. Pepper in the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge, where Revenlift is hanging out, getting a free hat. Got Glarb hats coming your way every single month. And then if you're around for a full year, you get a 101 bucket hat, which we are drawing ever closer to is for Revenlift. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. Let's see. What WB Enterprise was in the brunch restaurant this past week. The thing was that we were popping. Like this last brunch, we were open for, it's been a week since Mother's Day, but we were busier than heck for Mother's Day. You know how many moms are out there in the WB universe? There's so many. It's like the Animaniacs brought their mom they haven't seen in so long, and they were like, reunion time, baby. I don't know where I'm going with this. All right. Today's show.
Don Cheadle brought his mom.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Don Cheadle. Su madre. This week's show, we are talking about the Final Fantasy Secret Lair drop that's coming our way. We will do a Final Fantasy episode once the dust settles on all of this, because one, this is like the craziest set that I think I've ever seen. I haven't seen this many like diverse mechanics. I know that this has been a passion project for Gavin Fairhey and for a ton of others. They are making one hell of a show out of this set as well. The coverage has been insane too. There are so many legends. There are so many new commander decks to build. There are so many new mechanics and card types. So, you know, they've really put their heart and soul into this. And so we want to give that its full respect, and we'll do that in a separate episode. But today we're going to touch on the secret lair and the value behind that. And then, well, last week we talked a little bit about some shiny new toys. And then we ended the episode talking about, you know, some old dogs, you know, like things that, you know, you never thought could learn some new tricks. And so this week we are covering Zakama in CEDH, an old deck that has long been forgotten, but has gotten some new toys to make it relevant once more. So if you are looking to dance on people with a little bit of Naya Dino action, Naya guy gonna do.
Naya Dino gun do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Got enough. Got to work on that.
Oh, we'll iron that out. We'll have it on a playmat soon enough.
Dino guy gun Naya.
Dino guy gun Naya. Which, by the way, let's vote in the YouTube section or in the YouTube comments on the screen right now. I have our Naya guy gun do playmat in development. Let us know if you want one. If you love it, if you want one, I'll get them printed. Just want a little feedback on it. They're beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I should just print it. I should just print it. You guys are going to love it. All right. The Secret Lair. It's actually pretty, pretty great. Y'all might have already heard about this or seen it, but a little refresher for you. We have three different drops and a promo card. But let's jump right into it. The first drop is the Secret Lair Final Fantasy Game Over, which gives us Day of Judgment as Spira's punishment, which Sin is a total beast. And Final Fantasy X was marvelous. It was excellent. So I'm glad to
see. My favorite in the series.
Yeah. Dude, it just hit so hard. It was so good. So beautiful. But yeah, we have.
Can I give a quick shout out, not to get too off the rails? If you like Final Fantasy X, you will love a recently released game, Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
Go on.
It's a French AA JRPG type game that is heavily influenced by Final Fantasy X, and it's just really good. For me, I'm like 20 hours in, and I think it might be one of my top five games of all time.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've seen a couple people like playing it on YouTube, and I haven't checked it out yet. I might have to watch a couple videos, see if I want to get into it. Wow, really? Top five all time, huh?
Yeah, it's so good.
Final Fantasy X.
You know, the game designers have said that they're heavily influenced by Final Fantasy X.
Nice. Yeah, Final Fantasy X, it does have that, like, the story, the, you know, at the time of beating it, I would say that it was definitely a top five game for me.
Wow. Oh, Final Fantasy X? Yeah, still one of my all-time favorite games.
Yeah, it's...
And the sequel, X-2, with the dress spheres.
Yeah.
Just like a highly underrated game. Super fun. I remember that one being awesome as well.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, we got Sin getting some more action on a Magic card here. Yeah, Spira's Punishment as Day of Judgment. And then we have Temporal Extortion as Absorb into Time. So these are all reskins, but Temporal Extortion, this is like the first reprint that it's gotten ever, right? And so we have our first foil printing of Absorb into Time, which is really great. So this is already like an $18 to $20 card that we're now getting reprinted for the first time. So I definitely expect that one to like carry a ton of the value. Next, we have Toxic Deluge as Merciless Poisoning, and then Praetor's Grasp as Unseat the Usurper, which Praetor's Grasp, you know, it falls in and out of CDH decks from, you know, like people look at it as a cut. I think it still has a tons of value, presents a lot of value. And
it's if everyone's playing the best cards, it's a second copy of one of the best cards.
Yeah. And if it's
in your deck,
and if
you're taking away from your opponent.
Yeah. And if it's a niche commander that you haven't really like seen before, or you understand the niche commander and know that what its lines are, you can just go and like take out their win conditions, or at least one of their win conditions that they're going
for. It's a silver bullet for decks that can die to silver bullets.
Yep. Yeah. Like all the decks that I build. You can take Menace down at the table with a single Praetor's Grasp. And then we have Star of Extinction.
That is actually true. You're joking, but that is true.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I try to run alternative win cons, but they take me a lot longer to get to. You'll see it today. Then we have Star of Extinction as Sephiroth's Meteor Fall, which this is always a fun card to play. You know, the really perfect brash taunter card. This first set, Like I said, a lot of the value is being carried here by the Temporal Extortion, but there are two very useful CDH cards in this drop as well, with Toxic Deluge, which has been definitely reprinted into the ground, but it still carries value. So it's still like a $6-7 card. And then we have Praetor's Grasp, which right around the same. So overall, I think this is like very, very close to meeting the $30, maybe it's $40 now, base value. I think it's 40 non-foil and 50 foil. I think that's the price range now.
God, good for them.
God, that sucks.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for Wizards of the Coast making so much money. All right. The next one, it's Secret Lair, Final Fantasy Weapons. And at first, we have Staff of the Storyteller as Yuna's Sending Staff. Well, if you are unfamiliar with what the Staff of the Storyteller is, like I am, it is a 1-white artifact. When this artifact enters, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. Whenever you create one or more creature tokens, put a story counter on this artifact. You can pay a white, tap it, remove a story counter, draw a card. It's not as awful as I thought. You know, like it definitely like it's like a while it has a story counter, it's just like charging up. It's like a charge counter. It's like a, I don't know, like another card in this set that you can remove counters for value. But next we have Blade of Selves, which is as Clive's Invictus Blade. Blade of Selves, you've never played it before. It's a really fun commander card. Now, it's not worth what it used to be. So before Blade of Selves got its first like major reprint, I can't remember, it was like Commander Legends or whatever. But that, it was like a $20-$30 card. It was only printed in one commander deck at the time. It's like 2017 Commander. And yeah. And since then has seen a couple of reprints, but the card used to like run Commander for a minute. It was awesome. And then next, the card that also feeds off counters, we have Umezawa Jite as Cloud's Buster Sword. So I think this is sick. Umezawa Jite is always a banger. Super underrated. Like, I know it was great in Modern.
I mean, it's been power crept, but it's still an excellent card.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're unfamiliar, whenever you deal combat damage with the equipped creature, it's not combat damage to a player. It's just whenever you deal combat damage, you get two charge counters on it, and then you can remove a charge counter to activate one of its three abilities. You can give a creature +2, the equipped creature +2/+2 until end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. That's probably the most popular option because it kills things. And then you can also gain 2 life. So multiple relevant effects. The -1/-1 is at instant speed, by the way. And even if the creature dies, the equipment does not need to be equipped in order to activate those abilities. So busted in so many ways, but you're right, it has been power crept a little. So feels, it still feels like a good card. Next we
it's definitely a good card, just not a CDH card, probably.
Yeah, very niche, very, very niche corners, like something that, like Malcolm, I remember, is like a pretty decent Umezawa Jite deck, if you're mid-ranging. Yeah. Colossus Hammer is the next card, as Gaia's Dark Hammer. This is like a $5 card. It was, kind of like a joke card for a long time, but...
Hey, I mean, Hammer Time was a real deck.
I think it still is a real deck. Like, and it's still in Modern, still sees play, and it still gets support all the time. Like, new cards coming out, like, I think we're going to see a resurgence for Colossus Hammer if it isn't already seeing like a little bit more play with Cloud from the main set of Final Fantasy, which is another Stoneforge Mystic in Modern, and now in Pioneer too. So yeah, pretty cool there. And then the big value card for this drop, because otherwise it just wouldn't carry. We have Sword of Truth and Justice as Tidus's Brotherhood Sword. So Sword of Truth and Justice is really only had one meaningful print in Modern Horizons, the original printing for it. And then after that, it's just been little scraps here and there. And so now this Secret Lair, this one should sell like crazy. You get a ton of value, and the Sword of Truth and Justice is like $30. So, and if you get it in foil, I imagine it'd be a little bit more. And the last of the three Secret Lair drops, we have Secret Lair X Final Fantasy Grimoire. So for the first one, we have Prismatic Ending as Yuna's Holy Magic. We have Cyclonic Rift as Hope's Arrow Magic, which, Flash, you made this off recording. You'd made this point that this is the first Cyclonic Rift Secret Lair printing, which is substantial. I don't want to like overlook it and say that it's not, because this is still a $20-$25 card, like all the time. I don't think it ever goes down in value when it gets reprinted. I think people just know.
No, it's just an excellent card.
Yeah. Yep. Excellent card for Commander. Excellent card for multiple reasons. But yeah, it's the first Secret Lair printing of Cyclonic Rift. So go out and get it. It's freaking awesome. And then we have Dam as Noctis's Death Magic, which Dam is also a few bucks. It's a really great card if you're in black and white. We have Lightning Bolts, always getting too. There are too many Lightning Bolt printings, but there are collectors out there. I know they exist. I've seen them on Reddit. And then we also have Heroic Intervention, which has crept back up there. Heroic Intervention's back up to being like a $10 card. So,
oh, really? Even with like multiple reprintings recently in Commander decks too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, with how many more players there are, people just can't seem to get their hands on it, or they can't seem to get enough of it. So, that's Aerith's Kiraga Magic. So, the artwork on these are stunning. Like, I really like the Aerith, or like the Heroic Intervention artwork. I think it's beautiful. The promo card we have is a Gilded Lotus. So if you spend, $200, you'll get one of these. Or I think it is $200 is the threshold. It's pretty. I don't think it's worth it. Gilded Lotus hardly ever sees play. So the artwork on all these, if you're a Final Fantasy fan, this has been the best 2 weeks of your life. Like, if you are a Magic player, a Final Fantasy fan, this has just been like crazy. It's really crazy to see how far they're taking this. I hope that future projects that they put in this much work, because
they do it pretty often when the IP fits and there's clearly an overlap in like fandoms and it makes sense, like Lord of the Rings, like Warhammer, like Doctor Who, even, like, they put in the effort.
Yeah. Yep. This seems to be translating really well. So super stoked for these Secret Lairs. I wonder how quickly they'll sell out. So jump on at June 9th. It's part of their summer super drop at 9 a.m. Get your hands on some of these Secret Lairs. All right. let's go ahead, jump right into Zakama. If you're not familiar with a big old Stompy Dino, this is one of my favorite. When I first got into CDH, this was the deck for me. This just stole my heart. I was so excited for it. So just for a little bit of like history on how I developed as a CDH player, I was playing this as like big mana, like sort of group huggy with like mana flare and stuff like that, and just get tons of mana, dump it all into Zakama, let it come in, untap, blow everything up, and then control the game from there. And that was not like super viable. It wasn't really a great strategy because you were just giving people free resources if you couldn't completely shut them out of the game after doing that. So Jordan was really pulling me into CDH. Like he was like, just take it and modify it little by little by little, and then you'll get there. And it can be competitive. He's got to find a way to make it work. There are all these magic cards out there, you know, encouraging me to do so. And so I looked at it and all of a sudden the pieces started coming together and realized that Zakama is a food chain deck. This is my original food chain deck that made me sort of like fall in love with that strategy. So for 9 mana, big chonky cost, 6, a red, a green, and a white, Zakama might be the original Naya guy. Is it because you're going to do whenever? So it's a 9/9 with vigilance, reach, and trample that says when Zakama Primal Calamity enters the battlefield, if you cast it, untap all lands you control. And then there's 3 activated abilities, 2 in a red, Zakama deals 3 damage to target creature, 2 in a green, destroy target artifact or enchantment. That's probably the one you want to use the most. And then you have 2 in a white, you gain 3 life. So currently the deck is sitting at 101. I'm looking at making a cut. So if you're on YouTube and you see a cut that I can make, let's make it. But the original idea was get food chain out, because here everyone's, I guess, the really where it turns heads and makes people sort of like question the strategy is how do you get infinite mana? How do you win the game? How do you do all these things, right? So once you develop the food chain loop, which with Squee and or Eternal Scourge, you generate infinite colored mana for creature spells exclusively, right? And as long as you have a land or a set of lands that can produce one of each color, or, you know, red, green, and white, Zakama will, you'll cast Zakama infinitely and just keep untapping your lands and then just tapping them for infinite mana. So Zakama sort of acts as a filter for like infinite mana in that way. And then you have to have win conditions. And this is where I always ran into trouble with this deck, was finding a way to win was troubling, because it came down to what lands you controlled. So that's where this deck sort of like tilts on a different axis, is where all these other decks have main deck, you have, you know, lines that are well known, you have to cast these spells in a certain particular sequence and blah blah blah, this deck wins through lands, and I will explain that to you when we get down to lands. But first we have creatures, and since this is a combo deck,
yeah.
We have Allosaurus Shepherd first. The 1-drop green spells you control cannot be countered. This has always fallen in and out of decks for me, but it's 1 mana for a 1/1. This spell can't be countered. Green spells you control can't be countered. And it also has an additional activated ability of 4/2 green until end of turn. Each elf creature you control has base power toughness 5/5 and becomes a dinosaur in addition to their other types. So could be potentially relevant later we get into these creatures. Then we have dorks. We have Avacyn's Pilgrim, Bird's Paradise, Delighted Halfling, Elvish Mystic, as our mana dorks. We also have
Hey, how many of those are elves? Don't want to jump into alternate win cons, but
just one.
Several of them. Just one?
Yep, Elvish Mystic. And then I could probably run more. I don't see why not. I was looking at it. I was, you know, like, I'm still, this deck isn't perfect, right? I'm still working at it. It's still a work in progress because it is a house of cards. It is very much has,
you know. It's a deck of cards.
Yes. And you are trying to assemble a very fragile combo and the right window of opportunity to win the game. So then you have Esper Sentinel. I guess Ragavan is a mana dork. You could consider that. And then you have one of the most important cards in all of the deck, Weathered Wayfarer. Okay, so for one white mana, this card has been seeing an uptick in play due to the increased prevalence of Derevi win conditions with Gaia's Cradle. So Weathered Wayfarer has become the way for five color decks or four color decks to search out Gaia's Cradle, get it onto the battlefield, and have and contribute to the count of Gaia's Cradle as well. So and Derevi lines combination with Emil the Blessed allow you to untap, tap Thrasios, loves it, you know, infinite mana. It's good. It's really good for Thrasios. Weathered Wayfarer allows you to pay a white, tap it, search your library for a land card, reveal it. Activate only if an opponent controls more lands than you. This allows you to go get any land, which, by the way, this effect is pretty rare to find it as to find an efficient way to search out any land is an incredibly powerful effect that is, I think Wizards of the Coast is very aware that going to grab any land is pretty backbreaking. So this card is incredibly important. Then we have Destiny Spinner, allows you to protect your combos, creatures and enchantments you control cannot be countered. Dranith Magistrate, which I'm actually considering cutting. I've always played it, but I don't know how valuable it is anymore.
Well, you'd rather play a janky card for your specific combo over that piece right now.
I want stacks. Like, I do want some stacks, and this is one of the better stacks pieces in the game, but it is so easily copied. It is so easily cloned, and then it shuts my deck completely off. And so that goes into consideration where I'm like, if I put this down as a way to slow the game, someone can just clone it, copy it, or whatever, and then I'm completely shut out of the game. Like, they might have gotten their commander out, someone might have gotten their commander out earlier than I was able to get Dranith out, and then all of a sudden I'm forcing three other people to play from behind. Dranith has definitely, like, I've had more thought put into it rather than it just being universally, like, plugged in card if you're in white. I'm looking at it a little bit differently now. So I'd rather have, like, a stacks piece that shuts down one very specific thing that, if copied
That's
or
fair.
Cloned, wouldn't really non-bow me or kick me out of the game. So, yeah, it's in here, but it's definitely under consideration. I think that all CDH players need to take a good hard look at Dranith Magistrate with how many new cards and powerful cards and strategies are being, you know, like, injected into the format. Now that we're sort of reevaluating how we build decks to combat this mid-range madness and how we're trying to find our own, like, small victories, right? So Dranith Magistrate never feels like a small victory. It just feels like you land it and you just hope it holds the game together long enough. So next we have Sanctum Weaver, which is one of, for me, this is an auto include in any deck in green just because of my heavy favoring of enchantments. So itself is an enchantment. Destiny Spinner is an enchantment. Enduring Vitality is an enchantment. I'm also playing Overlord of the Hauntwoods. So if you ever wanted a standard deck, you ever want to play a standard deck in CDH, this is your deck. There's so many standard relevant cards right now. But then we go down to enchantments. There are 16 other enchantments. So Sanctum Weaver taps for a lot of mana all the time. It's great. Voice of Victory finds its way in here. I actually pulled Grand Abolisher out in favor of this just due to Voice of Victory's ability to pump Gaia's Cradle, where in this deck lands matter. So if Gaia's Cradle is able to be pushed up even higher due to just attacking with Voice of Victory, I'm here for it. I'm here for it, baby. I'm here to increase the creature count by two. It's awesome. Dualcaster Mage. This is mostly for battling on the stack and increasing Gaia's Cradle count. Allowing me to just, you know, like whatever I see fit on the stack that I want to copy, whether it's a counter spell, a bounce spell, card advantage spell, like, you know, ad nauseum, I can copy it. I can go through. I can, you know, get whatever cards I need. Eidolon of Rhetoric, another enchantment creature, rule of law effect to really help nullify a lot of those more common strategies. Just kind of like tempos out the game. Elvish Spirit Guide and Simian Spirit Guide, Ranger Captain, Eternal Scourge and Squee for the combo, Academy Rector for the combo to kill this and go get Food Chain. Elish Norn, Mother of Machines. This is big here just because it doubles up on Zakama's ETB, allowing you to untap twice. So untap, tap all your lands, float that mana, untap again, and then, yeah, roll through. So Mother Elish Norn can make your lines a lot shorter while also stifling and impeding your opponents. And then, yeah, Overlord of the Hauntwoods here. Never thought this would be in a CDH deck, but it is an enchantment creature that creates a land that is all land types, taps for one of any color. So it's incredibly relevant here, where you need to get to a certain number of mana in order to create these infinite loops with Zakama outside of Food Chain. So I'll get into that in a sec. Zakama has always been sort of seen as like a casual Zakombo deck. So one creature I just sort of glanced over, but I think is I glanced over it because I want to come back to it, is Hunting Velociraptor. This card is insane. It's really only seeing play in Atali right now, but we have another home for it. It is 2 and a red for a 3/2 first strike. Dinosaur spells you control or dinosaur spells you cast have prowl 2 and a red. Prowl is you may cast a spell for its prowl cost if you dealt combat damage to a player this turn with a creature with any of its creature types. So dealing combat damage with this will make it so that Zakama is only 2 and a red to cast for the entire turn. Even if you like sent it back to the command zone, now it's only 5 mana. You know, it's like the tax adds on. But yeah, for 2 and a red, you get to cast a 9 mana spell that untaps all of your lands. Pretty insane. So, or if you're able to bounce a Zakama back to your hand, we might have a card that does that. Then, still 2 and a red. And it shortens up your combo lines quite a bit. Pretty great card here. And then you can also activate the Allosaurus Shepherd to turn it into a dinosaur or turn your Elvish Mystic into a dinosaur. Deal that combat damage so, you know, Hunting Velociraptor doesn't have to necessarily get through. Shortens your lines a little bit more. So, sorceries. This is where the deck... Sorceries and instances is where the deck needs the most help. It's been a long time since I've really taken a look here, but and adjusted this, but the deck really needs tutors. You need to be able to get the cards you need, regardless of risk, you know? So like I'm playing Gamble for 1 red mana. I'm going to take the risk to get Food Chain into my hand, you know, like, or one of the two pieces I need. It's just where the deck is at. It's weak in a lot of areas. And so sometimes you got to leave it to chance. And that's what, you know, hey, the card has that name for a reason, right? I've seen too many people discard the card they search for, and it's sad. It's really sad, but hey, when it happens, that's the nature of the game. Also playing Faithless Looting. A lot of times in these colors, you just don't get the card draw effects. You can also throw some meaningful things into the grave to reclaim with Savine's Reclamation. We also have Altar of Bone. This is a great way to sacrifice your Academy Rector to go get your food chain and then also grab the squee as well, so you can keep rolling. Finale of Devastation is for me an auto include in green. I'm looking at putting in Nature's Rhythm just due to the fact that the creature doesn't need to have haste in order to tap it for the harmonize. So you can grab, you know, whatever, or if you have Zakama on the field, you can tap it, reduce the cost by 9. Idyllic Tutor to go get food chain, Eldritch Evolution, same deal as Altar of Bone, except it puts Squee onto the battlefield or Eternal Scourge. Winds of Abandon, super great right now. I think this was in the list and I thought about cutting it. I'm not cutting it. Not right now, at least. This is one in a white. Exile target creature you don't control. For each creature exiled this way, its controller searches their library for a basic land card, puts onto the battlefield tapped. You can overload it for 4 and 2 white. This, in mid-range madness territory, this is a total wipe. This, you know, and how many people are playing basic lands? Unless you're playing mono against a mono-colored deck, it's very rare. So I'm more than happy to include Winds of Abandon when the entire idea behind most people's decks are to generate a massive board state. And this is one-sided. It's completely one-sided. The only downside, it's sorcery. So if I were to replace this with anything, I'd probably replace it with like Final Showdown. For the same amount of mana at instant speed, you just destroy all creatures. So there's a little bit of upside there. It also has a couple other abilities that allow, you know, for some flexibility. So yeah, maybe Final Showdown if I'm seeking to cut this, but right now I'm not. Sylvan Scrying. It's one of the better cards in the deck for one and a green. You get to search for any land card. Like I said, these effects aren't very prevalent, so you need as many as you can get. Search your library for any land card, reveal it, and put it in your hand. Shuffle your library. So it's like a Demonic Tutor for your win conditions. In green. Now moving to instants, Crop Rotation. I didn't realize this was a game changer, but it absolutely is. This is, Flash, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the best cards in the game.
I'm not going to correct you.
Hey. Crop Rotation's awesome. It one green mana, sacrifice a land in addition to its other costs, and then search your library for a land card, put it onto the battlefield, untapped, and shuffle your library. So
any land, no restriction.
Yep. This is the original search your library for any land card. And it's busted. It's so great. If you're in green, there's too many times that there are too many times that this has won a game or given you an opportunity to stop, like slow the game down with, like, now that Talon Gates exists. I've seen, you know, like people crop rotation for a Talon Gates to remove a commander for the turn. You know,
there's a land that can do anything you need doing.
Yep. And crop rotation will go get it. We have Enlightened Tutor, Food Chain. We have Hadouken. I say it like that whenever I cast it too. Lightning
Bolt. As you should.
Yeah. Hadouken. Red Elemental Blast. Potential cut. Rending Volley. Now, this is actually a Tyler. Or no, this is a.
Can I ask why you're. So I'm sorry. Why are you going to cut Red Elemental Blast?
You know,
it's one of the only pieces of interaction you have.
I know. Cut it. No. I don't know. I need more Rube Goldberg. I'm just playing. I probably still keep it. It really does put in work. Rending Volley here. This is actually a Ian suggestion from way back when we did that Rocco episode, which rewind the Mock Stars clock. Go back, check out the Rocco exposition we did with Ian and Tordeth, and check it out. We talk about Rending Volley for a minute, and It's a one red instant that says can't be countered by spells or abilities. And then it deals 4 damage to target white or blue creature. So relevant for certain commanders, yes. And has outside versatility, kills a Drannith. And it also kills your own Academy Rector. So that's really where it was. I was playing collateral damage before because as an additional cost, it's the same as crop rotation, but the cost is sacrificing a creature. So that's uncounterable. But the Academy Rector would be sacrificed that, and then the trigger would go on the stack. But this is, I think, the versatility there with dealing with outside pieces while, and then also having the upside of killing your own Academy Rector is more relevant than collateral damage, where if you don't have a creature out to sacrifice, or if your creatures are too valuable to sacrifice, then collateral damage becomes, well, yeah, bad. You know, and this is never bad. It's only ever bad if you're at a all mono blue pod or all mono black pod. We have Silence. This is great. Always interaction. Veil of Summer. This is a combo deck, and that's sort of like the line I draw with Veil of Summer, is if you're playing hyper-focused combo lines, then Veil of Summer is great because it just protects your win cons. It's a second Silence. It's a, you know, it's great. Eladamri's Call. I was playing Worldly Tutor before, but then I decided that Eladamri's Call would just be the better option for me, for my personal preference. But this just puts the creature straight into your hand instead of the top of the library, not having to wait. And then we have Archdruid's Charm, which, Flash, I know you like this card. You love this card, don't you?
It's a good card.
It's a real good card because it has that line of text that does the thing that is very rare in Magic the Gathering, and that is searching for a creature or land card. And if it's a land card, you put it onto the battlefield tapped. Otherwise, you put
it in your hand. Third crop rotation for you.
It's beautiful. You know what Zakama does? It untaps lands. So this is basically, yeah, a 3-mana crop rotation that has additional upside and putting +1/+1 counters on a creature you control, and then it deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control. So it has a fight, well, a bite mechanic. So it can remove creatures and then also exile target artifact or enchantment. Relevant. So this can help you win the game. It can also help you remove pesky pieces or combo pieces or stop a player from winning the game. Archdruid's Charm, everybody. Everybody give it a round of applause. Oh, what a good card. What a good design space. Nice work, Wizards of the Coast.
I mean, do you have applause on the soundboard?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was playing it.
Okay, because I famously cannot hear any of that stuff.
It is quite famous that you are in the dark on all soundboard effects that I might play, like this one.
Yeah, whatever.
Or this one.
I have seen the film Tar at least 15 times.
That was me talking about Tar.
Yep. Yeah.
I heard that one.
Oh, strange. Yeah, I'm not going to play with it anymore. That's a great card. And the movie Tar. Get out there if you haven't seen it.
Great movie.
Flash has seen it at least 15 times. We have
as of the time that you recorded that drop.
Yes. Yeah. How many is it now? Is it as many times as you've seen?
16.
It's 16.
Probably at least 16 times.
It's like a quarterly thing in your life. All right. We have Quarter Calling as well in the deck. It's really great. Quarter Calling, everybody, instant speed, creature tutor to the battlefield. And then Force of Vigor. Force of Vigor has saved me too many times for me to consider cutting it, but it does continue to look like it is interaction, but it does continue to look like one of the more circumstantial cards in it. But it does remove a Rhystic Study, and it does remove an Underworld Breach, and it does all those things.
Really, which are really things well. You're probably going to see in a game of competitive Magic.
Yes. Yes. It's also worth, you know, like if you got to feed the fish once to blow it up, do it. Just do it. Just get it over with. Don't rip the Band-Aid off. Don't give them too many cards. Artifacts, we have Chrome Mox, Lion's Eye Diamond, Mox Diamond, Mana Vault, Soul Ring, Arcane Signet, Cursed Mirror, and the One Ring. Now, all these artifacts are pretty much staples, except for, I think, you know, I don't think many people are considering Cursed Mirror a staple, and I'll tell you why it's in this deck. For two and a red, it can enter as a copy of a creature, of any creature on the battlefield until end of turn. I've had this used against me. I've had it to copy Zakama, and the reason that I included it was because of that. If you copy Zakama with this, it enters the battlefield. You did cast it, and so it untaps your lands. You just choose to send it to the graveyard instead of Zakama, unless you have a reason otherwise. So it is a 3-mana untap all your lands if you've landed your commander already. It is also, yeah, just really great for copying pieces of or valuable creatures on the battlefield. So really a great card.
Clones are still good in a post-Oxide environment.
Right. Yep. They can still be good. I still play them in pretty much every deck. Like Helga has Stunt Double in it. It also has, I think I have one more clone in there too. Oh, Phyrexian Metamorph, still really great. So Cursed Mirror, a really great card if you do not have access to clones and you want access to a clone effect. After the turn is over, it turns into a mana rock that taps for a red mana. So beautiful. Has a lot of versatility and purpose even after the turn that it's played. All right, enchantments. This is where things get spicy. We have Carpet of Flowers.
You love an enchantment package. Oh, famously.
It's beautiful. It's famous. So famous. We have Carpet of Flowers, Deafening Silence, and our first combo piece, Meticulous Excavation. This is a card that I heavily spec'd because at the time, Dockside was legal. And this is a Dockside combo card. For one white, you get an enchantment that says pay two and a white. Return target permanent you control to its owner's hand. If it has Unearth instead, exile it, then return that card to its owner's hand. Activate only during your turn. So, for one white, you get an enchantment that increases your Sarah's Sanctum, your Sanctum Weaver count. And then, for two and a white, if you're able to generate 12 mana, which sounds like a lot, there are a lot of combo lines out there that require 11 mana. So, one more. What could hurt? Well, how could that possibly be worse or too much worse? But yeah, if you are able to generate 9 and then 2 and a white to continuously bounce Zakama, like this allows you to generate that infinite mana by bouncing Zakama back to your hand and then replaying it, untapping your lands, bada bing, bada boom, keep rolling, keep going. And then hopefully you have one of your outlets on the battlefield. The next card, so Meticulous Excavation, great. More than anything, this contributes to the enchantment count and then also has the upside of winning the game. Utopia Sprawl, a green mana for Enchant Forest, allows you to tap that land for an additional color of your choosing upon entry. Wild Growth, so any type of this effect that is mana efficient, I'm going to play just because it increases the amount of mana that my lands produce, which helps get us closer to the goal. Bitter Reunion. Now, this was a card that I've initially spec'd in Shalai and Halar just because, like, that pay one, sacrifice, creatures you control gain haste until end of turn allowed me to swing the turn of landing, like, the Red Terror or something so I could then jam the win right then and there. As like haste is super underrated, super valuable to be able to get an attack in when you shouldn't, especially since some of your win conditions in this deck are attack driven. We have Blind Obedience, which is great here. This, like I said, Zakama filters your mana, so this actually ends up being a win condition for you. So after you combo off Food Chain, generating that infinite creature mana, Zakama will then enter, filtering your mana, and then you just pay a white every single time and extort the table to death with that. So additional upside here, especially when you're the line that you're pursuing is going to, you know, work in tandem with this. Kendra's transformation. This is a great Nuka Commander card, and try to keep it on the field as long as possible. It also draws a card upon entry, so it replaces itself. I think that is incredibly valuable in a deck that struggles with card draw. We have Sterling Grove, which is it's tough to cut when you're pursuing combo lines so aggressively. But green and a white enchantment that says other enchantments you control have Shroud. So it also protects your win condition. And it says, pay one, sacrifice Sterling Grove, search your library for an enchantment card, reveal it, and put it on top of your library. So at instant speed, you can, you know, on your opponent's end step, search up the food chain, and then present your win condition on the following turn. Pretty great. Survival of the fittest. This is just awesome to go get Squee, and then also go get whatever thing you need, like Voice of Victory. So discarding the Squee or discarding the Squee and then go getting the Voice of Victory, putting that down and then starting your food chain loop will win you the game. You have Trace of Abundance, which is another wild growth type of effect. It's a hybrid Boros and a green mana. Enchanted land has Shroud. There are Besaijus aplenty out there in the world. And so Trace of Abundance is going to make your opponent have to nuke the enchantment before they can kill the land. So, yeah, hitting your guy's cradle or your Sarah Sanctum with something like this, really good. Now, up the beanstalk. This is a standard deck, baby. For one and a green, when it enters the battlefield and whenever you cast a spell with mana value 5 or greater, draw a card. Sakama's 5 or greater mana, draw a card, draw your entire library, baby. Get it. Get them cards. Food Chain is here. Touch of Spirit Realm, almost still an auto-include. In anything white, the channel effect is too valuable. Smothering Tithe and Trouble in Pairs. Maybe cut one of them, I don't know. Card draw is very valuable, so that's why I've included Trouble in Pairs. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. All right. The most important package in the entire deck. We have lands. We have probably too many lands. We have 32. So lands deck. Ancient Tomb, Arid Mesa, all the relevant fetches that you might want. Let's just talk about the important ones. Bonder's Enclave, which is on the chopping block, but it's really great in this deck. Once you get your loop going, this allows you to draw your entire library. You can pay 3, tap it, activate only if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. You're going to have one that has 9 power. Besaiju, awesome utility. Now, here's the shiny new toy. This is where Zakama's got a brand new bag, baby. Dalkoven Encampment.
What is that card? I have never heard of it.
You've never heard of it because it just came out in Tarkir Dragonstorm. It is a land that taps for a white mana. And it says it enters tapped unless you control a swamp or a mountain. Good news is we got plenty of mountains in this list. You can pay 2 and a white and tap it. And whenever you attack this turn, you create 2/1/1 red warrior creature tokens that are tapped and attacking. Sacrifice them at the beginning of your next end step. Why would this be good? Be using an untap it. And you can filter. It taps itself for white mana, so you can actually... when you food chain, you don't need to be able to filter that mana. As long as you have this, you don't need every color. You just need the color that it uses for the activated ability over there. Because as long as you untap this and you keep activating, you give yourself multiple instances of that ability. So pay 2 and a white, tap it whenever you attack this turn, right? I get 2. All right. Untap it. Tap it, activate it again. All right, I have another instance of when I attack this turn, I'll create 2 more. All right, and so you do that infinite times, then you generate infinite tapped and attacking warrior tokens when you go to combat or whenever you attack this turn. So that's why the
haste. And it's good.
Yeah.
Famously in another deck, Najeela.
Yeah, yep, really good in Najeela. This was a card I saw being played on Arena, and I was like, oh man, this is winning games. Why... is no one looking at this? And then I realized I was like, how did it take me so long? I played Zakama for forever. And yeah, it's a Zakama outlet. So it wins you the game. This is one of your win conditions. after you assemble the loop. So it's really, it's a thing of beauty for sure. And right next to it, we have another win condition, Den of the Bugbear. Now this, it famously does the same exact thing as Dolcoven Encampment. If you pay 3 and a red until end of turn, Den of the Bugbear becomes a 3/2 red goblin creature token with, whenever this creature attacks, create a 1/1 red goblin creature token that's a tap, that's tapped and attacking. There have been too many times where I've put this on the battlefield, not had haste as I'm going through the loop, and I can't do anything because this needs to attack. So that's why the haste, why I felt was an important inclusion. There might be, it might be worth running even more haste for more upside with this. But same deal. All you need to be able to do is pump this with infinite mana, 3 and a red, over and over and over again, and this land will gain infinite instances of creating a 1/1 red goblin that's tapped and attacking. So another win condition here. We have Gaia Reach Sanitarium. This is a way to continue drawing out your library, and then I also like this for the upside of killing a Thassa's Oracle win attempt on the stack. It's yeah, really beautiful card. I love it a lot. It's awesome. More win conditions. Oh, yes. Sanctum of Eternity. So this is a colorless land printed in Commander 2019 that instantly when Zakama was very much on its way out. And so it was mentioned for the deck. I've played it ever since. For two colorless mana, you can tap it, return target commander you own from the battlefield to your hand. So this is a homeward path of sorts for your commander. But also, this starts the loop. This can be your loop for two, tap it. So you need 11. But yeah, you go ahead and untap this every time Zakama enters, so you get another return back to your hand. So this is basically the same thing as the Meticulous Excavation, just one mana cheaper. So it's actually, it's excellent here. It's another combo piece. We also have Shivan Gorge as another potential win condition. 2 and a red, you can tap it, deal 1 damage to each opponent. And those are our win conditions. Everything else is just a manner of providing you some sort of card advantage with Urza's Saga, or giving you mana advantage like Sarah's Sanctum or Gaia's Cradle. Yeah. Iganjo, Baseju. That's it. The lands.
You have named all the cards in the deck.
I have indeed. Success. Yeah, check out the list. It'll be in the description below on YouTube, and I'll include the list in the podcasting platform description as well. Check it out. Hopefully, I've got it down to 100 cards by the time I'll cut a land, probably. And give it a test. Give it a test run. I'm going to be test running this as soon as I possibly can. I've always loved the deck. Always love. This is like the original Rube Goldberg for me. And it's always so satisfying when it does pop off. And everyone thinks they know it until you win through a Dolcoven Encampment. So, Flash, any final thoughts on Zakama? Do you remember me playing this deck way back in the day?
I remember recording previous podcast episodes where we talked about this deck, as well as playing against it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, we should link those previous episodes in the comments below as well.
Oh, that'd be a callback to like episode 2 and 3. For sure.
Yeah.
It was episode 137 right now. We're almost there to 3 years, baby. All right. Well, on that note, this deck's great. Anybody who thinks otherwise, you're not a Naya guy. And you probably don't drink Dr. Pepper.
I won't do.
You won't do it. You won't drink Dr. Pepper. Not like I do. Not like I do. Or eat it via Peep format or Jelly Belly format or Dr. Pepper flavored beef jerky.
Beef jerky format.
Yeah.
Jack Links.
Welcome to the beef jerky format. All right. This has been the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, and Don Cheadle. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications, as always. And you can also support us on all major podcasting platforms. Leave us a 5-star review. Makes it look super duper cool, like you're wearing a Gottlarb hat with the Mock Stars embroidery on the top. Oh, yeah. Good stuff there. You can also support us via Patreon. Be a pepper, drink Dr. Pepper. For $3 a month, you can support the show by becoming an official Pepperhead. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. You can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier. $5 a month, get access to each of the bi-weekly giveaways, like maybe Anthony, KB, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbert, Tommy Cypher, K-Mr. K, and Will Rule. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier for $10 a month. Get 2 entries. You can also join the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge. Enjoy the Bladeless Fan. The brunch menu is popping these days. And get 3 entries and a free hat into each of those bi-weekly giveaways. Are 3 entries and a free hat. The hat doesn't contribute to your entries, but you do get one. Does that make sense?
The hat is purely cosmetic.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of those things you're going to pay for.
It doesn't provide any buffs.
Yeah. Unfortunately. other than looking way cooler. I also have in development some Mockstars Pogs. I've got some slammers in the mail for us. That's news. I didn't tell you about that yet, but
not tell me about the slammers.
I just figured I'd get your on camera live reaction.
I love it. I'm in.
He's in. He's in. You hear that, folks? He wants a pog. He wants a slammer. They're super sick. I'll send you a picture.
Are pogs back in the culture?
No, but I figure it's a good like reminder token for your pact trigger. Or okay. Like, you know, this has got a finality counter on it. Slam.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you know, like you never know what it can be used for. It's a token of sorts, right? All right. This has been the Mock Stars podcast. Show your love for Don Cheadle by hitting the thumbs up, and we'll see you next time. We're out of here. Peace.
Bye.
All right. If you made it this far in the show, you know what it is. It's our bi-weekly giveaway, and this week we're giving away a Gottlarb hat because you know what? We trust that you, the Mock Stars faithful, the ones that have signed up, supported us on Patreon, and have entered into these giveaways are going to get out there and you're going to rep that Mock Stars merch and just show it off. So we're giving one away today, and let's just get right into it. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see who wins. Shuffle 1, 2, and 3 times and spin away. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so sick. It's the sickest thing. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? It's definitely Jeremy. Definitely Jeremy. Congratulations. Another giveaway won. I will get that in the mail to you as soon as possible. Thank you to everyone for supporting the show. Thank you to everyone for entering into this giveaway, supporting us on Patreon. It really does mean the world to us. And if you, in anticipation of our giveaway in 2 weeks' time, would like a chance to win a Tyler Jacobson signed foil borderless Orcish Bowmasters, you're going to want to sign up for the Patreon. You can join us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier to get 1 entry. You can join us at the 2-liter tier to get 2 entries. That'll be 2 weeks from now, the bi-weekly giveaway. And give yourself the best chance possible to win one. You can also join Ravenlift in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge and get 3 entries. Thank you all for your support, and we will catch you next time. Peace!